Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as promised, clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman is here in front of me in the studio right now with advice for parents about all sorts of areas. And if you want to get in touch with us, 51551 is the text number. You can email todaycb@rte.ie. Hello.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
I'm delighted. Yeah, I'm great. I'm delighted to be here.
We have so many things to ask you that I'm going to get straight into it.
Yeah, we're
we had a text from a grandmother on Friday, and this is really sad. Grandchild was in church in Dublin at that very moment, and they were rehearsing for communion. Presumably that communion didn't go ahead, and we got an email from another parent whose 14-year-old daughter was really upset because her Fela semi-final wasn't going ahead either. So what we wanted to ask you, for all of those parents who got in touch with us, is how do you deal with that kind of disappointment, and how do you help children through that?
I guess the big thing is that we actually, unfortunately, have to help them to experience the disappointment. I think most of the time as parents, because we don't want to hurt our kids, we hate to see them distressed, we hate to see them suffering in any kind of way. So we try to kind of move them on quickly, we'll chivvy them along, we'll try to make a joke, we'll try to brush things over. But actually, in the longer term, that can become more problematic. So actually what we need to do is just acknowledge the disappointment and how much effort might have been put in and how prepared they were and what a shame this is and how difficult it will be. And then we can start to bring in some of the positives, some of the hope, some of the likelihood that this is going to happen at some point. And won't it still be a great day to celebrate, for example, with the communion? Won't it still be great to be able to, you know, celebrate your communion when the time comes? Although, I shouldn't smile too much, but I've clients and so it's happening in lots of families that, you know, events like that have been cancelled. And one client told me, yeah, but if I don't get to make my confirmation, like, when am I going to get the money?
Okay.
So, you know, so not all children necessarily are going to be gutted about what we might think that they're going to be upset about in terms of the disappointment. But it is that bit, I think, about just helping them stay in touch with the feeling, not rushing them through the feeling too quickly. But then once we know that, or at least that they know that we get it, then we can start to talk more, hopefully more positively about what might then be able to happen, that we can maybe reassure them that all is not lost.
When that message came in on Friday, particularly about the communion, it just struck me that an 8-year-old, it's quite difficult to explain to them why it isn't happening, and their devastation might be a little bit more pronounced because of their age.
Yeah, and because their devastation is pronounced, that's why we move them on quickly. We don't want to let them be in floods of tears, but actually they might need to be in floods of tears, and we might need to just sit with them while they're upset, and we might need to give them the hugs and all the comfort and the cuddles and the, just let them be upset about it, because we're probably upset ourselves. That's the other thing we sometimes forget, is that as a parent, you might be desperately disappointed now that, again, something that you've been planning for, something that's a big deal for you in your life because it's your child, isn't happening, or it isn't happening yet. And so, yeah, the more we can help children connect to those feelings, painful and all as they are, the easier it is for them to build the resilience to then cope with the what happens afterwards. So we have to kind of sit with the pain initially and then begin to talk more positively and more hopefully about what can happen.
Okay, this next one, David, it's not strictly about the children, but other parents. The class WhatsApp group is very toxic at the moment, says this listener. I know parents are worried, but they need to get a grip. Loads of kids are going for tests, and the parents of those kids are mostly being very open about it. All of them so far have tested negative, but some other parents immediately jump to the wrong conclusion. They're demanding more and more information from the school. They automatically think every child with a cough is spreading COVID. We won't get through the winter, says this listener, if this goes on. What can you say without setting them off again?
Oh, it's so difficult. I mean, you know, WhatsApp, I think, is like, it is the TikTok and the Snapchat of the adult generation, because the amount of stuff, as that listener points out, that is so toxic that gets spread around, or rumour, or a load of stuff that, again, you know, it's not fact checked. We don't know it for sure, but somebody spreads a bit of information. So it is very difficult, I think, for parents sometimes to sift through the information that comes. And lots of people will put their WhatsApp groups on. Can you mute it or something?
Yeah.
So you just don't get the notifications. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you switch back on and the whole lot comes in. To be honest, I think as a parent, unless it's directly affecting you, I just wouldn't get engaged.
Stay out of it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, unless you particularly need to be in a parent's WhatsApp group, is there something important that parents will share that's actually genuinely useful? Or would you have your own contacts where you'd have two or three parents within that class who you'd feel comfortable and maybe just stay in touch with them in a smaller WhatsApp group?
Like, you could take the view that if there is something important that you need to know, the school will tell you.
Exactly. I mean, that would be my view. I mean, because again, you know, I'm showing my age now with my kids. You know, there weren't school parent WhatsApp groups back when my kids were in primary school. Or if there were, we certainly weren't part of it.
And you were okay. You survived.
You know, it's like, isn't it mad? Like, and you know, the ease and the accessibility that technology offers us at some times, you know, is so helpful. And yet at other times it's just so difficult because, you know, we just don't know what to do with it sometimes. And I just think, yeah, leave it off if you don't need it.
Yeah, I really want to go to this one. It came in this morning, really tough. This woman's husband died after a really brief illness earlier this year. Our son was wonderful during the illness, but he hasn't mentioned his father since the funeral. He won't leave the room when we talk about his dad. He's been to the grave with us, but he just doesn't talk about what has happened to us at all. Is this normal and what can I do?
So earlier this year, so maybe about 6 months on, grief and bereavement is such, I suppose, a process that we just can't predict how it's going to happen for any child. And the listener doesn't say how old the son is. And, mm-hmm. and that might make a difference in terms of how you're going to deal with it. But I guess it's about, you know, we can't force our children to feel things or to talk about things at any one point. So it really is about remaining available, letting your son know that you're willing to talk about his dad at any stage, even if it's, again, upsetting for that mum, and just showing him that, you know, his dad is still part of the family in terms of how he's remembered within the family. And again, you know, there'll be important dates like birthdays and other celebrations that will come up that might be, again, more poignant and more significant for the son. But as things stretch on, of course, it is possible that he will get a little bit stuck. And so it is important that the mum does stay in touch and then maybe puts him in touch with, if he's a young child, a play therapist is probably the way to go. If he's a little bit older and maybe in his teenage years, then it's someone like myself, a psychologist or someone like that, or a good quality child psychotherapist that can help him just to maybe process some of those feelings. But
in the meantime, leave the door open to
have the
conversation.
Exactly. Show him that she is open and willing to keep talking about his dad, even if he's not yet ready to begin to talk about those painful feelings.
Okay, we've had a lot in this morning on the topic of anxiety, David. Here's an example. My son has become very anxious since COVID. He's 9 and he wants me to stay in his room when he's going to bed. He worries about global warming and COVID, obviously, and any bad news, he's asking, you know, will this happen? If he hears anything bad on the news, I think is what the person is saying. Do you have any advice? I would imagine that's quite common at the moment, is
hugely
it?
Hugely common. I mean, the anxiety was rising anyway amongst children and teenagers, but for sure, COVID has just added to it. And I think, again, a bit like I was saying at the start, the key with children and anxiety is to acknowledge the fact that they are anxious. And then in many ways, you're taking a number of different approaches. It's really helpful for children and certainly teenagers to feel like they have a strategy to reduce their anxiety. So some kind of a relaxation technique or a breathing technique that can help them just in the moment. Then whatever's the feared situation that they have, it's also helpful for them to feel enabled to approach that situation, but in such a way that their anxiety isn't going to skyrocket. And so that's about sometimes offering them a little bit of reassurance about the situation that they have to face and some of the strategies that they can use to cope in that situation, or reminding them of ways that they have coped in the past. And then, as I say, lots of talking about the level of their anxiety, but ultimately, as a parent, you're talking about your confidence in their ability to cope. And so if it's about the settling him to bed, it's about talking with him about how difficult this might be. And yes, it might seem very scary, but that you're confident that he will be able to settle himself to sleep. And again, over time, then you'd probably be looking at weaning yourself off that kind of being in the room with him as you feel he doesn't necessarily need that level of support. But to be honest, if you can cope with it as a parent, I'm a big believer, like if kids need support to help get sleep, offer them the support. It's way easier for you. It's way way easier for them. You know, nothing wrong with sitting with your child as they fall asleep. Nothing wrong with even snuggling into the bed with them.
Okay.
It's really comforting.
I think we might have time for one more. Can you ask David Coleman a question? I certainly can. My young fella is back at soccer training these last few months. He's delighted to be there. I'm not a coach, but I watch from the sidelines. Now, there's one boy and he's always picking on the others. The minute they're asked to form a line, he's hitting the lad in front or pushing, kicking his ankles. The coaches are busy. They don't always see it. When they do, they tell him to stop, but it makes no odds. 2 minutes, he's doing it again. So what this listener wants to know is, do I leave it up to the coaches or do I say something? That's like a moral dilemma, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you could certainly say something to the coaches. I wouldn't say anything to the young lad. I wouldn't say anything to the young lad's parents. I
think that's asking just for trouble.
Absolutely, yeah. Setting yourself up for a fall there. But for sure, if you can see it, because, you know, the coaches are busy, the mentors, they're busy people. And so, you know, they've got a lot of kids to keep an eye on and they may not be aware that this young lad is causing as much disruption as he is. And so for sure, bring their attention to it. And then they're the ones who need to ultimately discipline in terms of, you know, giving him a little bit of time out on the sideline if he's causing too much hassle. And or talking to his parents at some point about, look, he really needs to kind of, you know, cop on and start playing with everybody as opposed to playing against everybody. And we'd be happy to keep him if that's the case. But it's absolutely talk to the coaches, but don't talk to the child or the parents directly.
David, we've so many more questions that came in for you, but we'll see you the next time.
We'll
save them. We'll save them for you. Nice to see you. David Coleman there.